Hello, world. Happy Earth Day. It's Janet Cleary, your host and life coach on Sight for Sound Life Coaching with the Twist show. It's Tuesday, and it's a beautiful day in Los Angeles. And I'm really excited that it's Earth Day, too. That's a very special day for me. I remember when I lived in Boston for many years, I would ride my bike down to the Charles River, going to the Hat Shell, and they had these amazing live concerts and to promote Earth Day and raise money, and some really great, great memories of those times. So my show and my business is called Sight for Sound, and what that means for me is when I see things as they truly are, I make sound choices. Another way to say it is when I listen and honor my inner voice, when I really get to know that inner voice, I make a healthy choice. So inner voice equals healthy choice. And I'm really thankful to have this radio show and the opportunity to speak to and have these amazing guests and talk about real life issues, what's on our minds, what's going on, what's working, what's not working. And because my mission is igniting human potential, and I really believe that we are all unique and we have our own unique gifts to contribute and to be of service to one another, and that we all belong to each other. And when we remember that, there's a sense of world peace and goodwill. And some people call me an idealist, but that's okay, because I really believe it. And it is why I do what I do, why I do my work as a life coach. And it brings me great joy to observe people going from a place where they know themselves pretty well and taking them on this journey where they really get to know themselves well. And they discover their greatness and their power and their beauty and their love and all that they have to offer to themselves and to the world. And one important aspect is to support people in loving themselves as much as possible and loving themselves first. In fact, I'm writing a book on that, and it is why I have a special guest today who I will introduce in a couple of minutes, Tammy Walsh. And I think it's very imperative to really love oneself first, because it is then that we have more to give to others. And I don't know one person yet that doesn't love to give, that doesn't love to help. And some people call it altruistic, but really, when I'm giving and when I'm loving, I'm actually giving to myself, and I'm loving myself. And I met Miss Tammy Walsh at a fundraiser, and we just hit it off. She is one of the most adorable women I know. She's so cute, and she works with teenage girls and their parents. I'm really inspired with the work that Tammy is doing and how she involves the parents so closely in working with their teenage daughters. She's very passionate about empowering the teenage girls by helping them to increase their self-esteem and their sense of self-worth in order to lead a happy life. It's her mission to serve as a positive role model by coaching young women to know that self-honor and self-acceptance and service to others equals true wisdom. So that brings us back to the more I know myself, the better my life works. When I honor my inner voice, I make a healthy choice. And I invited Tammy on my show, one, because she's a life coach, as I am, and I, too, work with teenagers in the city, and through performance workshops, we work with them to express themselves and say what's on their mind and to communicate more effectively and to develop more self-respect and accountability and courage to stand for what they truly, truly believe in. And right now it seems that there is a specific and timely message to be revealed, and it's regarding parents' awareness and communication with their teenage daughters. Tammy's specific program is Turning Battles into Bridges, so we will talk a lot about that today. And we really encourage you to call in and say what's on your mind, ask us some questions. If you're shy, you can use a false name. And the numbers are 877-876-5227. And U.S. and Canada are 888-815-9756. And the local number is 530-876-3222. And those numbers are up on the BBSRadio.com website as well. So, Miss Tammy Walsh, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here.
My pleasure. What an honor to be here. I love the mission of Sight for Sound because it is so true. When we cut through the illusions, we see the truth. And when we see the truth, we are much more apt to make choices that empower us all. So I'm honored to be part of your mission today and to really support parents or caregivers or people that are involved in the lives of teenagers that that they feel empowered and inspired today through our conversation.
So, Miss Tammy, tell us, what inspired you to create Teen Wisdom?
Teen Wisdom was inspired by, gosh, really by sort of a deep longing and call of my soul to bring light and peace and happiness and direction and support to teen girls, because I remember being a teenage girl, and I'm not that far away from their age, but I'm far enough away to be able to have the vantage point that this is not an easy time to be growing up as a teenager, and especially as a girl, because of, you know, it's such a sexualized culture, and it's everywhere around them, and teen girls today really need guidance, and I just felt that it was my calling to work with young women, and then, of course, their parents, because I thought the life coaching model worked really perfectly. If you think about what a coach does with somebody, it helps them get to that next level in their life. And these are our future women, this generation of girls. So I really believe that the coaching model was really going to be a big help to this generation of girls. And it really has been.
And how long have you been working with the teenage girls through
Teen Wisdom? I've been specializing as a life coach with teen girls for quite a while now. I'm one of the first life coaches in the country, if not the first, for girls. I started my company formally in the year 2000, but I was doing some coaching in late 99 with girls. So the last 8 years, and prior to that, I was doing counseling in schools with, you know, girls and boys and parents in the inner city of L.A. So really what inspired me to do this work was to really get to teenagers and proact with them before they're in trouble, before they're really truly involved in, you know, detrimental things for them. And because I couldn't do that when I was working in the inner city, the kids were already pretty beaten down by life and by their circumstances of living. Most of them were, you know, poverty-stricken and in gangs already, and I was doing my best to help them get resources and help them get out of the gangs, but it wasn't easy at all. And I was there for many years and loved it, But at the end, I did burn out, and I said, okay, what's next? And that was when Spirit sort of gave me the direction to go towards the life coaching and start my own company.
Mm-hmm. So specifically a proactive approach.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been reading some of your testimonials, and the common thread that I see is that these girls think of you like a big sister and a big friend, and they think you're really cool. And I imagine that you having that type of personality works really well with teenage girls.
Well, you know, what I say is I'm still a teenage girl at heart. I'm in my, you know, maybe in my 30s, but it's like, you know what, you know, my inner teenager is still very alive in me, and I really relate to the girls, and I think we all have that aspect of ourselves that can connect with teens, and we just have to kind of find that in us. And I've just sort of lived from that place in my heart space a lot in my life, so I have an ability to connect with the gals, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Was there a specific incident when you were a teenage girl that was sort of a pivotal point in you having this desire and purpose to create something different for teenage girls?
Absolutely. Yeah, there was. I can't exactly say what the moment was because there were so many moments where I felt... for me, primarily, I felt left out, unincluded, uninvited, unpopular, unwanted, anything with the word un in front, uncute. I mean, I just felt all the things that I think a lot of teenage girls feel, whether if it's in their head or it's being reflected back by peers. I felt very, especially in 7th grade and then again in 9th and 10th, I went to a private all-girls school for high school for the first 2 years. And most of the girls had been together since they were quite young and, you know, maybe first grade or even kindergarten. And I wasn't very included and they weren't very welcoming, let's put it that way. So I always felt on the outside and I always felt alone. And thank God for a few friends that I had outside of school that really were there for me. But at school every day, you know, the school is where our kids are spending, you know, most of their day. And if it's not an environment that's really a good place for kids because of social issues, they really need the support. And I, you know, my mom was there for me and she got me involved in a youth group that was really helpful. But it still was really difficult every day to walk through the halls and feel the girls with their dirty looks and feeling left out at lunch and feeling included one day and excluded the next day. And I did say when I was quite young, when I'm older, I thought I'd be a teacher, which I did do for a while. And I said, I'm going to help young women stop the negative comparison, stop the girl drama if I can, and create more unity. And in so doing, really pull parents in as well and help them with tools and strategies, because it's not easy when your kids come home and they're unhappy or they're feeling left out or excluded or bullied. What do you do in those moments? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I felt a lot of aloneness growing up in those years. And so it has, when girls come in and talk to me of what they're going through, sometimes it brings it all back. Because I really,
yeah.
I really, you know, I feel their pain. I really do.
Yeah, in working with these kids through Inside Out Community Arts, it's so interesting how my childhood keeps returning when I'm with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it puts us right in touch with those vulnerable parts in ourselves. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The times when I sucked my thumb. I sucked my thumb till I was 11, and I remember the kids going, what flavor is it, Janet, vanilla or chocolate? And I think one time I said it was orange sherbet because that was my favorite ice cream flavor. But it didn't feel good.
Right,
it didn't
right.
feel good at the time.
No,
you know?
It's not an easy time. It's not an easy time.
No, and I imagine that it's difficult for parents. I mean, even though as a parent to recall when the parent was a teenager and kind of approaching their teenage daughter from that point, but still it's, we are not educated, like there's no school for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those communication skills. And I think everybody does their best, but today I think we're really lucky, we're really blessed that there are so many different programs out there for teenagers and communication skills and, you know, improving confidence in that. So it is a really good time. And those kinds of things were not really available to us when we were kids, but they're available now, and it seems like you are out there and really connected with the girls and their families. So how do these teenage girls find you, or how do you find them?
Generally, I am referred to people by other parents that have either heard me on a radio show like yours, or an article I've written, or speaking I've done. And in a really cool way, the business has built itself by one teenage girl to the next teenage girl. In the beginning, mm-hmm. when it was very grassroots, girls really found value from the coaching and would tell their friends, and in turn the moms, and then it just grew from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a neat process to see it be really organic like that. I couldn't have orchestrated it the way it has, and our company now has coached and spoken to over 10,000 teenagers in the last few years, so it's been a fast...
Yay!
It's been a fast track, because, starting grassroots didn't seem like it was going to go fast, but it did, because there's nothing like delivering value and word of mouth when people get benefit.
Yeah. And do you work specifically in California, or are you all over the country?
Teen Wisdom has offices right now in California only, in Santa Monica and in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now in the process of, I do coach girls and young women all over the country by telephone. But in private practice and offices, we have Santa Monica and San Diego. And right now we're in the process of training coaches who want to get to this market but aren't sure exactly how to do it, how to market themselves, how to build a practice that's got steady income coming in, and, of course, most importantly, how to really create value and make a difference. So,
I'm on board with that.
You're on board with that. Yes, I know. I want to recruit you and work with me.
Absolutely.
I really do, because my vision is to have Teen Wisdom coaches globally. And right now we've got Teen Wisdom coaches on the West Coast, but we want to grow into, the mountain states and the East Coast and globally. We've got coaches mostly all throughout California now that are coaching by phone and some in person. But we want to grow. So if any listeners are interested in learning about how to get to this market and deliver value and make great money at it and feel so personally gratified, please look at teenwisdom.com, which is my website. You can find it on Janet's homepage with her radio show or my show and my website too, because it's really important to help as many lives as we can.
It is, and in the last 2 years, it seems that I have attracted a lot of single parents as well with teenage daughters and sons.
Yeah.
So it's
very true. There's some statistics out there that, there are more than 60% of single parents right now have teenagers.
Wow.
That's a pretty high number. And
that's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And so that presents a whole set of challenges too, and I've coached several parents, I should say several hundred parents in the single parenting world, regarding how to set limits with your teenager, regarding how to, deal with dating again if you're back in that mode. And, there's some different challenges that affect you as a single parent raising a teenager. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt about it.
Mm.
Whole different set.
Yep.
And it's healthy to look at a challenge as an opportunity,
really
for
is.
Sure.
Yep.
And I'm sure that you present it that way.
Well, we're not allowed to say problem
huh?
in my office. We can't, and none of my employees and none of us are allowed to say the word problem. We all say opportunity. And if any of us has a problem, we have to put a $20 bill in the jar in our San Diego office. We do not, the problem is never, challenge we still use. Because let's get real, we have challenges. But problems are always opportunities, and inside every problem there's a solution. If you stick with it long enough, you'll find it. So, yeah, I'm with you. We don't say that word. We just don't believe in that.
Yeah, there's a lot of words I don't believe in, and you can ask my clients and friends who are probably laughing right now, because it is true that we become our thoughts.
We do. We really do.
And one of the things I say is opportunity versus obligation.
Opportunity versus obligation. I like that. Tell me more about that one.
Yeah. At least for me, I grew up Irish, Italian, Catholic in Boston, so there's a lot of the obligation attitude, whatever, and it's all fine, but but it definitely is a mindset that stopped me in some areas. So, and the same with the challenge, like, how do I see this as an opportunity? And then it just kind of frees up some resistance in the body, you know?
So much.
And,
yes.
Yeah. So, let's see, Tammy, you have this timely program right now, a communication program entitled Turning Battles into Bridges. And again, folks, if you're listening and you want to say what's on your mind or ask any questions, please, we invite you, encourage you to call us 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Turning Battles into Bridges. It's an interactive workshop or a presentation with the parents and the teenagers.
Communication Turning Battles into Bridges with your teen is basically, yes, it's a presentation that we give in schools, we give to organizations that have parents that want to learn more about how to bond and connect with your teenager. And we also do teleseminars of communication turning battles into bridges with your teen. So you can be on the phone in the privacy of your own home and be hearing and listening to this great information. And we teach what the several bridges are in the communication program, as well as what are some of the bridges that you want to, bridge burners and bridge builders that you want to use and avoid. You want to avoid the bridge burners and use the bridge builders. So we teach all that through stories and examples and really give practical solutions and strategies for people.
Mm-hmm. So share with us a bridge builder.
The bridge builders are the tools and strategies that support those bridges. So I should start with what the bridges are. There are three bridges that I really talk about and teach. The first bridge is all about listening. You know, we think that as communicators, and we're working on our communication with our teenagers, that we need to learn exactly what we want to say.
Yes.
Actually, great communication starts with our ability to listen and deeply connect with our teenagers. So a bridge builder inside of the bridge of listening is listening without interrupting. And how many of us are good with that? Are good?
Nah. That's a good question.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, I was laughing and saying that is a good question. How many of us are willing to do that, to not interrupt?
Right, and that's the challenge. And what I tell parents, what I suggest parents do, is when your teenager comes home, let's say he or she is ranting and raving about a teacher, a coach, somebody who treated them unfairly, and they're ranting and raving, or maybe they're ranting and raving at you for something that you've done. The first inclination that we have as parents is we want to interrupt them with what we think they should do to fix it, solve it, handle it. And actually, the first thing we need to do is pause and listen. And I tell parents, or I suggest to them, to look at their watch and look at if there's a second hand on their watch. See if they can stay quiet for a full 60 seconds. And you know what? 60 seconds is a really long time when you have to stay quiet when your teenager is complaining or whining or is genuinely upset about something. But what we do inside of that is we give them a sacred space to have their feelings, to let them know that it's safe to talk to you and you're not going to make them wrong for what they're doing. You're not going to try to fix it for them, because teenagers really need an opportunity to solve their own problems, but sometimes they just need a place to vent and rant and rave first before they can get that clarity. So that's one.
Let them dump.
Yes. So that's one of the biggest bridge builders I can share is listen without interrupting. So parents say to me, all right, so I've listened, I didn't interrupt, but is that what I'm supposed to do? Then I'm just supposed to stop and I'm not supposed to say anything? And I say, no. The second bridge we talk about is the talking bridge, which I call it effective dialoguing. How do you effectively dialogue with your teenager so that he or she actually hears you and hears what you have to say and doesn't just blow you off? And so one of the ways to do that, again, there's probably 50 bridge builders inside of each bridge that we talk about in our program, but one of the most powerful bridge builders inside the effective dialoguing bridge is to ask questions that get your teenager to self-reflect and get your teenager to think about his or her own insights. So that might look like when they come home and they're upset about, like I said, a teacher, a coach, a friend issue, or maybe even you about something, you as their parent, you do the empathetic listening. You do a lot of joining and listening through empathy. But then what you want to do is you want to ask them a question. First thing I always suggest is reflect back what they have to say with empathy. So you would do something like this. Wow, it sounds like you really felt like the coach was unfair to you today.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it says to the teenager, wow, you heard them. You get it. You didn't just go into your parental agenda to tell them, well, you know what, you better get along with that coach because that coach could end up ruining it for you and you'll never get to varsity. See, sometimes we say things out of our own fear and our own frustration and angst as a parent, so we're not able to hear them objectively because we're so close to them as parents. We just can't. So these tools really help slow the communication process down. So after you kind of do the listening, and then you say something empathic. I really call that technique mirroring, when you're reflecting and mirroring back what they're sharing. And again, none of this is rocket science, Janet. It's just we're not in the habit of doing this because we're on our cell phones or we're rushing or we have four other kids. So there's not enough time sometimes to do this process. So we rush and we just want to fix it and get to the bottom line. I see that especially with, you know, with all due respect to men, men and teenage daughters, fathers and daughters, have a challenge in this area where the girl just wants to vent, the dad just wants to kind of get to the bottom line.
Sure.
So after you've done the reflective listening and you have empathized and then you've said something that really lets them know that you get what they're going through, even if they're upset with you about a limit that you've just set, maybe they're grounded and they can't go to a party that they wanted to Friday night and they're really upset with you about it, again, you do a lot of that. I can see that you're really upset with me about this. I can see that you are really disappointed that you can't go to this party. I know that that's really hard for you. And then they may attack you a little bit and say, well, then if you know it's hard for me, why won't you let me go? And then you kind of repeat the same thing. You say, yeah, again, I can see that you're really frustrated with me. You're frustrated with this decision or you're upset with the coach. And so then you go into the questioning where you get them to share with you. And so I would say to them, well, so what do you suggest as a parent I should do? Since you lied and broke a rule and you're upset about being grounded, what do you suggest I should do?
That's
and then
wonderful.
Listen to their suggestion. It doesn't mean you have to do it or enforce it, but they may say, well, take away my computer and phone for the weekend. You know how much I love to text and be on the phone and be on the computer, so take that away, but please don't ground me because I really want to be at this certain birthday party. And then that's your call to decide. Or if they're upset with the coach at school or something and you want to ask them a question to get them to self-reflect, so you want to say something like, so the coach didn't let you start today and he said he was going to and you ended up playing only half the game, so I can see you're really upset about this, so what do you think your options are? What do you think you might want to do about this? See, it's really beginning to shift your role when you're working on your communication with your teenager from what I call a manager to advisor. As a manager, you're doing a lot of structure and telling them what to do and providing solutions and giving dictums. As an advisor, you really want to still create some structure for them, but ask them questions. Ask them if they want your suggestions. Maybe point out some options if they're stuck. But it's really a different paradigm that we teach in our program. And again, I'm giving you kind of some laser tools here so your listeners have something they can put into place right away. But all of the tools and strategies that we teach in the Communication Turning Battles into Bridges program are rooted in this paradigm of shifting your role from manager, who when they were younger, you could even pick their friends, let alone coordinate their play dates, because half the time their friends were your kids' friends. In the teen years, you've got to start shifting out of that managerial role and shift more into that advisor role. And that's a really, really hard thing to do unless you've, you know, you're naturally skilled at that type of parenting. Most of the parents I've worked with aren't, because there's no handbook on this stuff. We learn it as we go. So I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah, it's very effective being empathic and putting myself back into being a teenager. When you were talking about the second bridge, effective dialogue and asking questions, as soon as you said that, the first thing that came up for me was, oh my God, I hated when my parents asked me questions. I was so annoyed when they asked me questions. And so you're saying that the magic here is the empathy in the way that we ask the questions.
Well,
in a
way that
we make sure that they get it.
Right, because I'm with you on that. I have a quiz I give to parents that if listeners want to email us, we can send that out. But I like to do it with you as a coach, because I really help you with the tools that you need to pick up once I see what your predominant parenting style is in communication. But the questions, you're absolutely right. And in the quiz, one of the categories of communication parenting style is what's called the investigator parent. And that's the parent that does a lot of questioning. Who, when, where, why. A lot of questions that really turn their teenager off. And so then the teenager begins to withdraw, not share information, potentially start lying. So the questions that I'm talking about asking in the effective dialoguing bridge, the bridge builder there, is not questions that are interrogative, but what I said was questions that elicit self-discovery. Questions for their own reflection. So it's questions that get them thinking about maybe what their options are, what their feelings are, what choice they might have. I'm not talking about questions like, well, where are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? Now, that's important, too, because in today's world, we got to keep our eyes on our teenagers like never before. So I'm not saying abandon asking questions about the whereabouts of your kids, but I am talking about in those times of process, when they're going through something, you want to ask questions that get them to self-reflect.
Yeah, just like a coach does.
Exactly like a coach does.
So that the teenager comes up with the answers on his or her own. You know, they're drawn out. And I love the segment about, well, what do you suggest? What do you think your options are?
Yeah.
Because now you're on the same level with your teenager, and you're treating them like a powerful, responsible person. And I think that the teenager in that moment is like, wow, I have choice.
Right.
And choice is like, I talk about choice a lot because, and when I work with my clients who have the teenage, let them know they have choice.
Yes.
So what do you think about that?
I think that's the absolute epitome of what a teenager is looking for in the communication. They're looking to you for the message that you believe in them. See, the reason that Bridges, Turning Battles into Bridges program has worked with thousands of families is because the bridges themselves do two things. One, they open the lines of communication to begin with. And two, they really do send a message through the techniques, the bridge builders. They send the message that you believe that your kid has got the answer within him or her. And if he doesn't, you're going to coach him or her to find that answer. So it fosters independence. It fosters high self-esteem. That's why this is such a powerful program and a powerful paradigm. It really is. Because teenagers at this time in their lives, what they're going through, just like we were as teenagers, this hasn't changed. Maybe the conditions have, but the developmental milestones of teenagers are always going to be the same. They want to create their own independence, and they want to create their own identity, separate from being a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister. They're looking to create their own identity and to feel independent. So when you're talking with them in a way that gives them options, choices, you're allowing them to develop that autonomy and really, really start to soar moment by moment. So it's the way to go, and it's not easy because it's counterintuitive sometimes. As a parent, our job is to teach, uh-huh, protect. We really believe that we have to impart knowledge and wisdom to them, which we do, and half the time they're talking to you, they do want your knowledge and wisdom. They just don't want you to know that they want it. Because, again,
yeah,
that would go counter to their milestone that they're trying to reach, which is that independence, identity, I know, I can figure it out. So if you talk to them in this way, they're much more likely to actually want you to give your input and thoughts without feeling like you're cramming it down their throat and cutting off their independence.
Mm-hmm. And in this conversation right now, I have that that goose bump, tingly feeling inside of my body, which is the sign of freedom.
Oh.
And I really encourage parents who are listening to experiment with this, mm-hmm, because you as a parent are going to feel this goosebump freedom feeling inside of you, and I believe that your kid is going to too. And Tammy, what do you think about what happens for a teenager when they feel that sense of freedom inside of them? You know, it goes back to that sense of independence and self-esteem and identity. And
that's everything. It gives them, here's the benefit too, for not just the teenager, for the parent, but for the parent too. It gives them a loud and clear message one more time that you believe in them, that you believe they're capable and competent. And even if you're saying, but gosh, Tammy, you know, they can't even keep their room clean, let alone me let them make a decision about where they're going to spend the weekend. And I say, I understand that. I always say teenagers are, you know, they're this kind of like this regressing child and this wannabe or emerging adult wrapped in one body. So you do have to exercise patience and discernment about where you're going to set limits and what you're going to decide. This is a battle I'm going to take on. This one I'm going to let go. But overall, if you're speaking to them from that place of empowerment, from honoring, from empathy, from giving them opportunities to find their own answers through your structure, through you as advisor, not only are you supporting them, but what you're doing is you're pretty much ensuring that when they are going through something really difficult or challenging or scary for them, that they'll talk to you about it. So the more you can do some of this stuff, use these tools with the little stuff, the more you're ensuring that they'll be with you on the bigger stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They'll talk to you about.
And yeah, and it isn't brain surgery. It's
no.
In terms of the context and the technique of it, it's very simple. And I think that it takes a high level of commitment to it and the consistency.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
How long does it take, or do you see a certain time length of this working? Like, does it work right away, or do parents use it, you know, for 3 months and then it finally works on a regular basis? It's like second nature? Or
I find that parents can get benefit from when they come and hear a one-night presentation at a school or an organization where I have a chance to speak in an hour and a half. In 90 minutes, they leave with so many tools and strategies. And I did a talk last Wednesday night, and I had done one previously at the same school in San Diego where a mom had attended at the end of January. And then, again, she was there last Wednesday, and she said, I moved mountains to get here tonight, but I wasn't going to miss this because when I was here at the end of January, my son was, like, the night of your talk was the first day of my son's puberty. He was just 13. And she said, she said he wasn't talking to me. He was arguing with my husband. He didn't feel like he had any friends. I was so concerned and so worried. And she said, in that one night, I learned about how long to hold eye contact with boys. I learned how to talk with my son from a place of real connection instead of the parenting I was doing. And she said, now, a couple months later, just from coming to one Communication Turning Battles into Bridges talk, she said, we're getting along famously. He joined the lacrosse team and became the captain of it. He and my husband have taken weekend trips together. He's made friends. all because of what I shared with my husband and what he and I started doing with our son. So whether you do this stuff,
it was
such a great testimony to the work, because I really care about these kids, and I always say before I give any talk, if I can affect one parent tonight who will in turn affect the life of his or her teenager, I've done my job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that there's more peace in that home now because of that story, and more peace inside that 13-year-old boy, and that's
tickled. Yay!
I know, it makes me so happy. So,
It's not about saving.
No,
no. It's about giving them these tools of self-love, you know, with communication to create certain boundaries, stand up for what's important to them, a sense of self-respect.
Right, right.
And you don't do it, you know, as coaches, we don't do it for you. We give you the information and the techniques, and then we encourage you to apply it in your life and
right.
see what works.
And I think one of the greatest benefits with having a coach, whether you're a parent and need a coach for parenting or if you're a teenager, I think one of the greatest benefits is having that support and that accountability, because it's really easy to fall back into old patterns. And I think what you provide with your radio show and with your individual coaching, which is what I provide, is that reinforcement of the new tools, reinforcement of the new strategies, and ultimately reinforcement of a new mindset. Because this, again, like I said a few minutes ago, the strategies and the tools are really nothing if they're not rooted in the paradigm that's empowering. And the
right.
empowering paradigm is shifting from manager to advisor. That's very, very key. And once parents really get their head around that and really absorb that, their entire way of communicating changes. And they see their relationships either being completely improved, transformed, or just made so much stronger. So no matter where your relationship is with your teenager, whether it's struggling and distant and cut off, or it's hello, goodbye, and sort of superficial, or it's close, these tools and techniques, I guarantee, will create much more closeness and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And reduce conflict. And who wants conflict with their kids? It's not fun.
It's not fun. I mean, it's healthy, you know, to a point, but in terms of bridging some differences, but when it's constant and consistent, and the juice, and it's the natural juice, the way to get juice, then it's not so healthy. So folks, call in 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We have Miss Tammy Walsh here, founder of Teen Wisdom. And we are talking about turning battles into bridges. Tammy, do you want to share some bridge burners with us?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. I always say to parents when I'm about to share the bridge burners, I say, now, if you're listening and you used any of these bridge burners this morning before your kids left for school, please do not beat yourself up because you hadn't heard this yet. Because parents are like, oh, my gosh, I did all of them between 8 and 8:30 this morning. And I'm like, that's okay. Some of the bridge burners you want to avoid in your communication are, again, like we said before, pretty obvious, but we slip into them sometimes as patterns. You want to avoid doing what I call preaching to a teenager. Teenagers really dislike when you're in sort of a preachy mode where you're holding up this, well, I think the right way to do this is, and here's the best way to think about this. When you preach, that's a bridge burner. When you lecture, that's a bridge burner. I always say as soon as you start to see your teenager's eyes start rolling, you may very well be in lecture mode. So you want to switch out of lecture mode. Another bridge burner is threatening them. You know, if you don't do this, then this will happen. This is a guaranteed way to really destroy intimacy and closeness between you and your kids. Threatening is never, ever, ever a good idea. Consequences and results are different than threats, so let's keep that in mind. Another bridge burner that's really not a pleasant one for teenagers is what I call screepeating. And what screepeating is it's repeating yourself to a point where you're repeating yourself and you're screaming what you've been repeating. Because here's why. As soon as you yell at a teenager, first of all, parents say to me, but if I don't repeat it, it'll never get done. And I say, I get that. But if you say it more than two times, now you're going to enter a power struggle. You're going to lose your temper. They're going to feel attacked, and no one's going to be winning, quote unquote. So I really want to recognize parents that are frustrated and end up yelling at their kids and doing this repeating thing. And what I suggest you do is say it once. You know, if it's, I need you to set the table, I need you to come downstairs, you say it once, you say it twice. After twice, if they don't respond, and now some parents think this is harsh, but other parents have said, thank you so much, this was a tool to turn my whole family around. Whatever it is, you just move on. So if it's, let's say you're waiting in the driveway for them in the morning and you've gone in the house twice and called their name to drive them to school and they don't come down, you leave. You let them know after two times that'll be happening. You don't just surprise them with that, but you do it. You, like you talked about before, that consistency piece is key. So yelling, screaming, repeating, I say twice and then move on. Another bridge burner is overly praising your teenagers. Today's teenagers don't necessarily have a very big problem with self-esteem. They have a problem with self-respect and self-honor, which is a little different than self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But really, a lot of parents have gone out of their way to overly praise their kids and really build them up a lot. And it becomes a bridge burner because teenagers start to believe that your praising is disingenuous and that what you're saying is, you know, it's either got some falsehood in it or it's manipulative or they just think you're saying it to make them feel better and they just don't believe it. So overly praising them, like every day, I'm so proud of you, you're so wonderful, you don't want to do that, especially in a tone of voice that's insincere. And I'm sure most parents don't do that, but a lot of parents think, oh, you know, I should praise her more. That's fine, but make sure it's genuine and authentic, and don't be surprised if it's not well received because most teenagers get a little uncomfortable inside of that, and or they feel a little bit silly or stupid or uncomfortable in their praise. They're like, oh, Mom, you know, you're just saying that because you have to.
Yeah.
So that's another bridge burner. And, of course, anything like, you know, swear words, cursing, those are all bridge burners. You know, things that we know, but we forget. The final thing I like to say about the bridge burners is something you said before. It's inconsistency with limit setting. That's really a bridge burner. I find that some parents are just very inconsistent with, they may say you're grounded, but then they don't enforce it, or they enforce it for half the time. And inconsistency is a real bridge burner because kids really don't know where they stand with you. And as much as they rebut your structure, your rules, your limits, the things that you ask them for, they really do need them. And they come into my office and they'll tell me that. They'll be like, well, I'm kind of annoyed. She's not going to let me do this, that, or get a cell phone or whatever, or not let me have unlimited texting. But I guess in a way it's good because that would distract me so much from getting my work done. So they don't like it, but they need it. And remember that you have my permission as this, you know, teen life coach and parenting coach, that the advisor role is really important. But when it comes to your child's health or safety, you just have to make a decision as a manager to say, no, you can't go to that party, or no, you're not driving with that kid, or you have the right to do that and you need to do that. And yes, you should give them a reason, but you don't have to listen to their upset for 45 minutes and have them make your life miserable. You don't have to do that. Again, you say it twice, you give your reason, you move on. And that's been one of the biggest tools that's helped a lot of the families I've worked with.
And so this consistency and the reinforcement is teaching them boundaries as well. Is that true for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Boundaries and limits, because, you know, we have to stop at red lights when we drive. We have to, you know, we need to teach our kids boundaries and limits in the home, because otherwise they don't respect them in the world. It's got to start in the home, absolutely.
Or in themselves, you know.
Yeah, absolutely in themselves, but kids don't necessarily have that internal reference point for what a boundary is when they're real young, and so you as their parent models that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I didn't really know much about boundaries when I was a kid.
I don't think any of us do, you know.
No.
I think you're right.
No, and then suddenly I was like, oh, I'd better stand up for myself. You know, being a really nice person and friendly, and not to say that it was malicious, but some kids unconsciously will take advantage of a nice kid.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely. So it's very important that parents model boundary setting, model that kind of communication and those type of limits, because you really then are teaching your kids that. And then some kids are just, you know, they're less assertive.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have any confrontation. So for them, saying no to somebody at school about something is scary for them. Excuse me. So you have to do a lot of supporting them through those things by talking with them, modeling to them, et cetera.
Indeed. One thing I'm curious about, do you work with, whether it's in the turning battles into ridges or your other programs, do you work with the teenage girls on using their intuition?
Oh, that's such a great question, because I love that what you said in the beginning, that inner voice, listen to inner voice, make the best choice or make the right choice. You know, I absolutely do. And when I work with girls, I always tell them, this is how I teach them about intuition or inner voice. I tell them that we all have it. It's just a matter of learning how to hear it. And so pretty much we all can kind of get either a visceral feeling about our that relates to intuition or some sort of gut level feeling. So I tell them, listen for it and then listen to it. Because we can hear our intuition come up about something or someone or a situation or an instinct that feels very intuition-based, but then we go against it. So it's very similar to what you say, inner voice, choice. I say the same thing. You want to listen for it and then listen to it, because it has wisdom for you.
It has a lot. I mean, our intuition is our friend. It's, man, it's a best friend, I think.
Absolutely. It's really an area that personally, when I work with girls, I really relate to them, where there have been so many times in my life where I've heard the wisdom of my intuition and I've ignored it.
Oh, my goodness.
And
it's
always come back to haunt me every time.
And I'm so glad that you incorporate that in your coaching, Tammy, because, again, there's no education on it. It's not, you know, it's not in the schools. It might be developed or talked about in the house, you know, in the homes. But I sense that not many homes work with intuition.
That's right.
You know.
And teenage girls love to journal, generally speaking. And I give them a lot of exercises to go into their journal with and really go inward and begin to truly connect with that inner voice. And they love to do that. They enjoy the coaching process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, folks, we have a few more minutes. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Share with us what's on your mind, or you can write in as well. You can find Tammy at www.teenwisdom.com and find out about all of your programs. And
yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited about two programs right now specifically. I'm excited about all of it. But right now we are excited about our four-week teleseminar series for moms of teenagers, moms of teen girls specifically. But if you have a son, you'll learn stuff too. And that's meeting four Thursdays in May, May 8th, May 15th, May 22nd, and then May 29th. And for four Thursday mornings from 9 to 10 Pacific time, you know, you'll be in the privacy of your own home. You have a phone number you get to call in, much like, you know, your show.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have a support group of moms that are also raising teenagers. I think the best way to learn is from other parents, their situations, their struggles, their triumphs. And we'll be sharing those as a collective together. And I'll be on the line giving strategies and tools as well. And that's almost full. We have a few more slots left. But it's one of my favorite things to do, and I do it once a year. So it's only $49. So please jump on the website and click on the 8 Secrets Every Mom Needs to Know Teleseminar Series.
Mm-hmm.
Please join us
eight
for that.
8 Secrets.
Yeah,
eight
I'm going to give them all out. And,
that's wonderful.
The coaching
well, that well, that's a great idea to have these teleseminars so that there's some kind of privacy, you know, where a lot of people feel more comfortable talking on the phone and there's a sense of confidentiality, which, you know, leaves that space for
absolutely
the moms to. Now will the daughters be on the phone call
no,
too, or
no,
is it just
they'll be
the moms?
Well, you'll be in the privacy of your own home in your robe, drinking coffee, talking to your mom. So that's a lot of fun. And then, of course, the Teen Wisdom Life Coaching Training Program. If you or somebody you know wants to make a difference, a real difference in the life of teenagers, please have us visit, have them visit our website and learn about our coaches training program. And we're starting again in June, an 8-week series, again on the phone. And you get great materials and great support from other coaches and myself so that you can really start your own coaching practice wherever you live. So there are teenagers that need you, whether you're raising them or you're listening today and you'd like to get to this audience, please, you know, email me directly. Jump on the website teenwisdom.com or tam@teenwisdom.com and let us know a little bit about you, and we'll talk with you about our program.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'm going to forward that information to all the artist leaders at Inside Out Community Arts.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, I have clients all over North America, and a lot of them, again, are single parents, and, you know, Midwest and
yes,
on the East Coast. And, well, Tammy, I'm so happy that you are out there giving this gift to the teenage girls and the teenagers and the parents. And I'm really inspired. I'm really excited for you.
Thank
and
you. Likewise,
I'm so glad
I love what you're doing. There's no more important tool than learning to listen to your intuition and being empowered in that energy and really seeing things for what they are. You know, the truth will clear all errors in my mind from the Course in Miracles. And when we live in truth, we really do make much better choices and create a much better family environment for our teens and in our community. So it's my pleasure to be on your show, and please do stay in touch with me and let me know how I can help you and your listeners again.
Well, very good. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And thank you to everyone who is listening. And I'll sign off and say ciao for now.
Ciao for now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.